Welcome, everybody. My name is Rand Sperry. I'm one of the co-chairs for the Business and Ethics Conference for 2020, which has now been moved to 2021, April 14th of 2021. So please mark your calendars. My business is that I am CEO of a commercial real estate company called Sperry Commercial, Sperry Equities, and then Sperry Commercial Global Affiliates. We're in 18 states and have about 300 employees. And my co-chair is Randy Redwitz, the co-chair of the Business and Ethics Conference. And he is Redwitz and Company CPAs, a mid-sized CPA firm here in Orange County is what he runs. And he's got several other holding companies and things he's involved in. And today we have with us our guest. Her name is Tanya Domeyer, and she is the CEO of Advantage Solutions and headquartered here in Irvine, at least that's where her office is. They are a global business in 40 countries with, I think, 35,000 employees or
80,000 now. We've been
80,000.
80,000, yes.
Oh, okay, well, the website, I probably can't keep up with it. That is amazing. That is amazing. So before I ask my first question, I would like to just get a little flavor, tell the audience what you do and in terms of a company, what your service is, and anything else you want to tell us about it, and then we'll dig in here.
Great, absolutely. Well, I'm Tanya Domeyer, and as Rand said, I'm CEO of Advantage Solutions, and I've been at the company, this is my 30th year. When I started at the business, there were only 50 people and about $5 million in revenue.
Oh my goodness.
It's been an incredible journey and really amazing to watch the business grow to 80,000 people like we talked about and over $4 billion of revenue. So it's been quite a ride and quite a privilege to lead the organization. I've been CEO for about the last 7 years. And we are a sales and marketing and technology outsourced services company. So brands and large retailers use us to help sell their products, market their products, and use the technology that we have to provide mission critical services to them for both sales and marketing.
Wow. And I forgot to mention, you also received the award, the Bishop's Award for Exemplary Business Integrity a few years back at the Business and Ethics Conference. So congratulations on that.
Thank you. Thank you. I was really honored.
With this organization, the size that it is, how have you dealt with running it through this pandemic? It seems like hopefully a lot of people work from their homes already, or tell us a little bit of how that's going.
It's been quite a leadership challenge, particularly at the beginning of the business. As I mentioned, we have three segments of our business: sales, marketing, and technology. And we provide mission critical services to brands and retailers. So, for example, in our sales division, many of those frontline workers who were stocking shelves and making sure that brands and products were at your local Ralph's and Albertsons and Vons and Pavilions and Stater Brothers, our Advantage associates working on behalf of the brands that we represent. So business was very busy and hard to keep up with, as there were shortages on the shelves and our frontline workers were working really hard during really difficult circumstances to make sure that people in the US got the products that they needed. And we were really proud of that. The hard part of our business is we have about 20,000 people that work on our demo business, and that's in our marketing side of our business. So when you go to almost any retailer across the United States and somebody hands you a sample, that's one of our associates. So as you can imagine, during coronavirus, that part of our business has been shut down. So it was really difficult because one part of our business was doing, you know, we could hardly keep up with the demand, and the other side needed to take a pause. And when you're dealing with people's lives, it's really tough to have them take a pause. So we've been working really hard to get everybody in the Advantage family back to work. And one of the things that was amazing to see was just the spirit of goodness in our retail partners and our brand partners. And a great example of that is, in the beginning, when we couldn't sample, they let our associates clean and sanitize the carts and clean the stores and, you know, tried very hard to help us keep our associates busy. But we furloughed quite a few associates during this time frame, and it's been really difficult to watch that happen and to lead through it.
Wow. As a follow-on to that, have you faced any real ethical challenges most recently in the face of this pandemic that you've really had to struggle with and resolve?
I think the biggest ethical challenge is just, you know, the increased disparity between people who are doing really well and people who aren't doing really well. And, you know, there's a lot of pain in the country right now, you know, whether it's racial tensions, whether it's, you know, people worried about where their next paycheck is going to come from. It feels like tensions at an all-time high. And just trying to understand as business, what's our role in these conversations and how do we help our associates? How do we help them and keep them working and also provide an atmosphere where everybody can come to work and feel safe and be themselves and have an inclusive environment? And I think that's been, you know, the biggest ethical dilemma. How do we play a role in that? We had a conversation with 1,700 of our associates a few weeks ago, a town hall about diversity and equity and inclusion, to really start those critical conversations that are difficult to have.
Yes.
To really acknowledge, you know, what a company can do. And, you know, one of the things that we talked about was understanding leads to empathy. Empathy leads to kindness. And we all need a kinder world. And, you know, when you have empathy and understanding and kindness, whether it's a company or a country, we all need more of that. And we've been trying to figure out how we can play a role with our associates in that conversation.
That's fantastic.
So are things getting a little back to normal on the business sides?
Yes, they are. They are. They are. People are starting to go back to work on the demo side of our business. And, you know, we're finding new ways to do things. A big part of our business is technology. So we've moved to digital sampling and virtual advisors and samples coming in online grocery pickup orders. And, you know, it really has been amazing to see the spirit of innovation and to really just see the resilience of the team in trying to find new ways to do things when certain fundamental ways that we've been doing things for a long time couldn't be done that way. And I think companies across the country have shown this as moving from office base to virtual overnight. So yeah, it's gotten a lot better. One of the things that we faced when this happened was, you know, you probably remember all of the frontline workers talking about, you know, bonus pay, and, you know, they're in the line of duty that's, you know, pretty tough, you know, leaving their homes when a lot of people can work at home. And I think you talk about an ethical dilemma. A lot of us can work from home very easily, but there are a lot of associates across the country in our company and many others that just don't have the luxury of being able to work from home. So one of the things that we did is the top 1,000 earners in our organization all took varying degrees of pay cuts from 10% all the way to 100% for me. For a few months in order to put together a fund for our frontline associates. So we have a $2 million fund for our frontline associates, so they can apply for that if they are having challenges during this time. So that's one of the things, you know, again, you see the goodness in people. Our board members gave up their board fees. Our private equity investors each gave us a significant amount of money. And, you know, it was really heartening to see people come together to try to really protect the family, and the family's big.
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting to hear. You're the first CEO we've talked to that talked about the fact that you withheld, you know, your salary for several months, which Actually, I did too. And I got my first paycheck yesterday.
Yay! Yay! All right, excellent. Well, I'm not quite there yet, but I look forward to joining you soon.
So I'm going to turn the tables now on a different subject, because I can still remember when you accepted your award up there at the Business and Ethics Conference with over 1,000 people, and you gave a very eloquent acceptance speech, and it was all about the necessity of Catholic schools. So I'd like you to elaborate for those listening right now on your thoughts on that, and why you're so passionate, and perhaps your experience with Catholic schools growing up or with your children.
Well, I think quite simply, Catholic schools make the world a better place. If you think about social justice and you think about, you know, all of the things that we're talking about here, all of the ethical dilemmas are things that come back to virtues. And those virtues of tolerance and kindness and social justice and, you know, doing for others and giving of yourself and sacrificing and trying to do the right thing and telling the truth. All of those things are virtues that from kindergarten or pre-K on at a Catholic school, a child hears every single day, all day long. You're good, God loves you, do the right thing, tell the truth, be kind. And I think that it makes the world a better place when you hear that all day, and that, you know, faith and God and, you know, just the world is more than just, it's all about me. And I think Catholic schools do a great job teaching people from very young on that they have a very important role to play in society. And I've watched my own boys, I've watched those virtues being planted as little seeds in them. And as they've grown, those seeds have been nurtured by Catholic school, both from Sarah Catholic, which I guess is now St. Sarah, and on to Santa Margarita Catholic High School. And one of our sons went to Fordham. Our other two didn't go to Catholic colleges, but same thing there. You step on that college campus and you hear Father McShane, a Jesuit, talk about educating the whole student. And you leave there feeling like your child's going to be nurtured spiritually, educationally, and wow, what a difference that can make if everyone had that opportunity. And the reason I'm so passionate about it is I know so many people can't have that opportunity. In fact, more people don't have that opportunity than do. And I, just because I believe it makes such a huge difference in the world, I want everybody to have that opportunity.
Well, we certainly, that's what the Business and Ethics Conference is all about. All the funds do go to help those in need that want to go and are passionate about going to Catholic school, make it affordable for them. So that's why you were just the perfect, that was the perfect speech, because that's what this is all about, raising money for those that can't afford it.
And I'm so happy that you mentioned Santa Margarita Catholic High School too, because the other week we had Father Steve Salat on, and all he talked about was modern day.
Am very excited because our three boys went to Santa Margarita, and now my nephew will be there next year. So we've got a bunch more years as a Santa Margarita family, and really proud.
Well, that's actually how Randy and I met. Yeah. I was on the parent advisory board, and Randy kind of manages the office, his company. And I don't know what else you were doing there at the time, but you certainly were instrumental in bringing the phase two or three of the school and getting the entitlements for the pool and the athletic building and so on. And that was our passionate at the time. I was president of the school board for a while, and Randy was there the entire time. Thank God, he made me really look good.
Now, I can appreciate what you're saying about Catholic education, because I've always believed that you know, in elementary school, what the children are really taught is foundational, and but in high school, they really have a chance to put it into play and interact with it, and yet be supported at the same time. And so, it's a phenomenal environment to develop some very, very wonderful people. So
absolutely.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people, at least through the years, sent their kids to Catholic school for a better education and never realized, I think, that no, it's for a better education all around, both right. spiritually, mentally, athletically, and education. And it really is. And if you look at it that way, and if that's how you sell Catholic education, that totally makes more sense why you pay for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And the parents, the school, everybody works together to nurture the whole child. Yeah. And you know what? In high school, they're still children. they're big children, but they still need that. They need that nurturing. And I think educating the whole child is really important. And it is. It's their spiritual growth, their emotional growth, their educational growth, their athletic growth. And I think Catholic schools do a fabulous job at all four of those things.
And I've just seen the product of it, both with my children. I know Randy's children, sounds like your children. In fact, I think Randy's got a question about that in a minute. That, you know, they come out of there and they start swinging the bat and doing all the right things and finding the right person to marry and creating a family. And, you know, now they're off at the Catholic schools with their children. And it's just probably the best investment I've ever made. And I make investments all the time. It was Catholic education for my kids, that's for sure.
Well, that must be really gratifying as your kids start to repeat what you taught them and the foundation of that. You know, a perfect example of Catholic school planting those seeds and them blooming is our oldest son, after going to Santa Margarita, went to GW and then worked in consulting for a few years. And he is now going to UCLA Law School to be a public defender because he wants to give back and has that calling to social justice that was planted very early at St. Sarah and nurtured through Santa Margarita. And I think has always made him just feel like, you know, much will be expected, too much has been entrusted. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying it wrong, but.
You got it.
You know, one of the things that's amazing about you and your background is the ability to balance being a mother of your children and being a CEO of a very, very successful business. Any secrets there? Any any balancing effects that we should know? Or even our listeners would know about that.
Yeah, not just for the women, the men too.
Well, I would say that the biggest secret is having an amazing husband and partner. And we really always approached everything like a partnership. And that was how we approached parenting. That's how we approach our marriage. And that allowed me to be able to do what I did. And had a lot of help along the way. Was fortunate to be able to have resources to have a lot of help because it's impossible to do it all by yourself. You need help and you need a great partner to support you. And I think you also have to remember family first, but that doesn't mean that you don't make sacrifices. I always tried to make sure that I was the one making the sacrifices instead of the boys. But you know, it's hard. And it's not easy, but it can be done. Three boys, and they were all 2 years. They are all 2 years apart.
Oh my goodness!
Even that was well planned, huh? Boom, boom, boom.
Yes, and, we tried.
And they're all out of college.
Two of them are out of college, and one of them is a rising junior at American University in Washington, D.C. In fact, we just dropped him off at the airport.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wow. Fantastic.
Well, we know that you had, you have another commitment. And so we want to thank you very much for being our guest today.
My pleasure. It was good talking with both of you.
Yes, it was really great to get to know you even more and get some insight from you. And for our audience, don't forget to mark your calendars again for April 14th, 2021. We look really forward to seeing all of you in person, cross our fingers, next year at the conference. And
that
thanks again,
great.
Tanya and Randy.
Thank you,
Always
Tanya.
Good to see you.
Thank you to both of you. Have a great long weekend.
All right, okay. You too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.